interruption to your conversation. I want to give our guest, and more importantly than a guest, a dear friend, as much time as possible in the pulpit this morning. As Pam alluded to in her welcome, as we've been going through Ephesians, we've seen a lot in the book of Ephesians about diversity and how God is building a kingdom that's comprised of people from all tribes, tongues, and races. And over the past number of years, it's probably been 7 years or so, God's given me the privilege of growing in friendship with Joselo Mercado. Joselo pastors a Spanish-speaking church in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And I don't know how many times we traveled to La Paz together, but okay, he remembers every last one for some reason. Apparently, it was 6 times traveling together, so it's a little surreal to be leaving to go there without him. If I can say it this way, my friend, La Paz no es lo mismo sin ti, mi amigo. Joselo has a heart for not only his home state, territory, place, Puerto Rico, but wants to serve there in bringing all of the grace of God he's experienced over the years into their culture. And I asked him to share a little bit about what's been happening since the hurricane. I've had numerous phone calls with Joselo. He's made numerous trips there. And I believe, Kathy, you've been able to accompany him at least once or twice, 3 times now on those trips. And given being a mom and taking care of Janelle and Joey, thank you for doing that. Thank you for going with them. I know it's your home as well. And so I'm eager for you to hear and remember what I shared a moment ago. I want you to connect that to mission, because though none of us have been on any of those trips they've made, we went in heart and with a small gift to try to make a difference there. And so our giving matters even when we don't always get to see it with our eyes. But I'm eager for you to hear from Joselo, my friend, this morning. So Joselo, come, and church, can we welcome him?
Hello, Metro Life. It's great to be here. It is true, every time I go on a plane away from home, something happens. So pray for Melissa as Aaron is traveling. I'm very comfortable here in Orlando. I think this is one of the few places that people can handle my accent. You guys are used to it when you go down to Kissimmee, you know. But I like to say this when I preach in English. I hope my accent is not a distraction, but my accent is a reminding of the unity that we have in Christ. And that one day we will be together from all nations, worshiping God. And I'm grateful for Aaron's leadership in this area of having diverse people coming and speak to you. I think right now the thing that is in is racial reconciliation. But not a lot of people want to be uncomfortable while walking racial reconciliation. And I think it's a great way for folks that English is their first language to experience what somebody may experience when they're walking here and English is their second language. Every once in a while, getting a guy with a thick accent to speak to you guys. So, way to go, Adam. I'm extremely grateful for the friendship with Aaron. As I say, 6 trips, and you remember each one of them when you travel 6 times with Aaron. Woo! And we were not only traveling, we were roommates all those trips. So I'm scarred for life. But I think in the last couple of years, I see myself that I'm drawn to certain type of people. And it's the people that take God seriously, but don't take themselves seriously. And I think that is Aaron. He really takes God seriously, but he doesn't take himself seriously. Although, I have to say, bro, you're getting softer in the joking. You know, you're a little more sensitive lately, which is good. It's good that you're growing in that. Grateful for you guys. Aaron said that you guys get a small gift. It wasn't a small gift. It was a significant gift toward the fund that our church in Gaithersburg, Maryland, raised up to be able to help Puerto Rico after what happened there September 20th. So we took, so far, I think more than a dozen trips. After the storm, I was there 10 days after, and it's still like surreal to think about when I arrived to the island of Puerto Rico, and it was the face of people. People were in shock, and the island was in total crisis. Only 4% of the island had power at that point, and there was all type of crisis. You couldn't find this. One of my trips, you couldn't find this. You couldn't find a bottle of water. I went to visit my parents. They didn't have drinkable water. I went to visit my mother-in-law. She didn't have drinkable water. There were like humongous lines to be able to buy groceries. On a personal level, 7 months later, my mother-in-law still doesn't have power. She's still working on a generator. Over 100,000 people still in that situation. That our country, Puerto Rico, really was hit very hard by this. And the reason we went down there for the first 6-7 trips that we took from October to November, we just wanted to say to 10 churches that we relay down there, I'm the president of an organization in Puerto Rico called Reformados, which is like the second reformation. And what we want to do is bring the gospel of Jesus Christ back to pulpits. So we are working with pastors there. And what we did was in each trip, we will take generators on the plane, give it to the churches, they will give it to people, and just be with them. Take them to dinner or in whatever place was open. We went with a family in November and we took a pastoral family, and each day we spent the day with them, just trying to encourage them and be able to be with them during that time. And this would not have been possible without the generosity of churches like you guys. And after that first stage where we give more than $20,000 in cash to the churches there, and we gave over 40 generators for the different churches, we asked them, what do you guys want? And what they wanted is for us to continue to visit every so often and be with them and have dinners together. So we have been doing that each month for the last 6 months. And Kathy has been going with me a couple of times, and we had like a breakfast with the couples, and we have had dinners with just the pastors. And last Saturday, I was in Puerto Rico. And we had a conference open to the public on the presence of God in the midst of crisis. And we were there, and over 700 people attended the conference, and this was free of charge. We did it all for free so that people would come, listen to God's word, and all of this was possible because of the generosity of you guys and other churches that partnered with us. So thank you so much for loving the unity in the gospel in different cultures. And I know Danny has invested in that, and Aaron has invested in that through the years. And you guys are truly a church that love the culture. So we're grateful for that. So thank you, church. Thank you very much. If you can open your Bibles in Psalm 46. And this psalm became like our refuge for our family after September 20th. On September 20th, my wife, myself, we were stuck in front of the TV watching Fox News, CNN, I don't care which one it is, to see what was happening on our beloved island. And we have been through a couple of storms, but what we were seeing, it was hard to swallow. As you saw the total destruction that was happening, and we didn't know anything about our families. It took several days for us to hear from our families. And people from our church, they were maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks before having news if their families were doing well. And Psalm 46 became a refuge, became a lifeline for our family. You see, when a storm is coming, they tell you to put the storm shutters, that's how we call. And in Puerto Rico, so many storms have been close calls, you know, like come like past close enough but not hit the island, that people were like relaxed. Oh, we are We are the island of the Lamb. You know, the Lamb is kind of like in the shield of Puerto Rico, and we are blessed. Nothing will happen to us. And some people relax and didn't put their shutters. And when 155 miles per hour winds are hitting, you need that, because you need a refuge. You need a place where you can feel safe in the midst of the storm. God is that place when we're in the middle of the storm. He's our refuge. He's our strength. And we will see in Psalm 46 that although the world can be falling apart surrounding us, God is our refuge and our strength in our time of need. So let's pray and let's read God's word, which is the most important part of the sermon. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for revealing your love for your people as you are our refuge and our strength. And thank you for Jesus Christ, that he took the storm of your wrath so we could be secure in you. Let the preaching of your word be of encouragement to your people. In your name we pray. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the earth of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She should not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the work of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war, ceases to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of God. Before I continue, I would like to give some credit to Jeff Perchwell, as his treatment on this passage really influenced the way I saw and treated Psalm 46 as I preach it. As I told you, when Maria came and hit Puerto Rico, we went back to Psalm 46. We were like thinking about it. We were like meditating about it, because our soul needed to know that God was our refuge and strength. And you need to see the backdrop of this psalm. This is a psalm that is showing problems that are greater than ourselves. This is problems that you cannot control or pay your way out of it. These are problems that the earth is changing and shattering in front of you, that nations are raging, and God is calling us in a very profound way to trust him, even though everything surrounding us is falling apart. This is a very, in some ways, daring psalm, because he's calling us for almost what is seeming impossible, to trust God when everything surrounding us is collapsing. You see, this is life-destroying, death kind of situations. This is not that you went to Starbucks and you asked for a latte and they gave you something else. They gave you a cappuccino. And then you go to Facebook, oh, my life is ruined. They gave me a cappuccino instead of a latte. Oh, the skies are falling. Starbucks, what you have done to me? This is not what this psalm is talking about. And I think that in the 21st century, with all the things that we have, all the technology, we have become quite soft about suffering. And I think we need to distinguish, and I might have said this before here, we need to distinguish between suffering and inconveniences. We have to distinguish between suffering and inconveniences. You know, sometimes we are like the network. You are like in a place and your cell phone is not working. And you are like, oh my goodness, what I'm going to do? It has to go to space and come back. Give it a minute. Take it easy. Take it easy. You know, we're so used to like things going so fast that we don't know how to suffer now. Antibiotics are a gift from God, but 200 years ago, you got a sore throat, you didn't know you were going. So we were more used to suffering, and I think now we're not used to suffering because we are not surrounded by how people lived 200, 300 years ago, that death was so imminent, was so real, that we have become soft about suffering, and things that are inconvenience becomes our trials. You see, when you are remodeling your kitchen, that's a 1% problem. That's not a trial that you need to be like dying over. Oh, my life is, I don't have a kitchen. You have money to go and buy food. That's a 1% problem. So you understand what I'm trying to say here. This psalm is not about inconveniences. This psalm is about earth-shattering problems. Maybe your health has deteriorated in a way that has just changed the way you can live. Maybe it's a relationship that has not worked out and you have tried and tried and tried. Maybe it's a storm that hits the country that you grew up in. And in those moments, God asks us to trust in Him. In those moments, God is saying, you need to trust in myself because I have revealed myself to be a present help in the times of need. So Psalm 46 wants us to be encouraged and to trust in God in the most difficult moments. And you have to see something. This psalm doesn't come with like a pat in the back, trying to like, oh, poor you. This psalm comes strong. This psalm is not trying to like make you feel better. This psalm is trying to like shake us. Kind of like, you know, sometimes you don't know how you're thinking and you need somebody to like, come on, wake up. This is what this psalm is trying to do. Because sometimes we get like in a fog that we need to get off of. And this psalm wants to do this. You see, God is a protection, a refuge for those who appreciate His protection in the midst of difficulty. So in the midst of any danger, God's nearness is our protection. Point number one, when there is a problem, God is our refuge. When there is a problem, God is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the earth of the sea, though his waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at his swelling. You see, before any lamentation happened here, and let me tell you, I think one thing that the church needs to grow and do better is in lamenting. You know, there's a difference between fighting God and lamenting toward God and having this heart of saying, how long, oh Lord? How long till you fix everything? There's a difference. I think the church needs to grow in this sense of lamentation when we are in real difficulties. But before any of that happened, this psalm wants to talk and tell something about God, who He is in this time of crisis. And He's saying, God is our refuge and strength. Something important here, this psalm is not in singular, it's in plural. God is our refuge. So in time of crisis, in time of need, we need to think of the covenant community of God. I think in our crisis, I think in a time of needs, we many times we come and become sheltered and we become isolated. And this psalm is telling us to start thinking as a community. God is our. Your suffering is our suffering. Your trial is our trial. We walk it together. We don't walk it isolated. Part of that strength and refuge that God is come as we walk this crisis together. And for us, something that was very encouraging when we couldn't have communication with our parents, when we couldn't talk with our loved ones, when people in our church were struggling, was to see the love from churches like yours of saying, we are with you. We're with you guys. When Aaron called and say, well, what do you need? And I say, straight cash, homie. But that was an encouragement. That was the care of God, which he is our refuge and strength. I want to make very important that part of the psalm. Because I think this psalm, we make it very like about ourselves. And it's a very covenant community psalm. In the times of need, God is our refuge and strength, and he's that in a big way when we walk together. You will not feel, or you will not experience the refuge and strength that God is if you walk your crisis alone. You have to walk it in the community of the saints. Amen? And something here is, he's a very present help in trouble. Oh, I love that line. He's a very present help in trouble. This is not like Batman. That you put the bat signal. I've been doing a lot of superhero things here in Metro Life. Remember last time? Come on, work with me here. You know, you put the bat signal hoping that Batman sees it. Hoping that he will show up. You're not sure. You don't know where he's going, or then Superman was dead also for a little while. What's going on? So you don't know if they're going to show up. God, he's a very present help. Oh, he's near. He's near. He's there. Because he has made that promise to his covenant community. He's near. You know he's going to be close by. So when we see troubles, we know that God is near. Trouble coming. Oh, I see it. He's near. Oh, what grace, brothers and sisters. What grace, what comfort to know that in the midst of troubles, he is near. And again, we cannot isolate ourselves in the time of trouble. We need to seek God's presence. And I'm convinced that the main manifestation of God's presence in the New Testament is when the church is together. So we need to embrace. We need to make it a number one priority to be on Sundays at church, to be with the community, just to be around and be encouraged. Because this is, in many ways, the way that God shows that he's a refuge and he's a strength. We're together. We're walking this as a community. And in the midst of struggles, we believe many lies. We build our own stories. We isolate ourselves. As you see, the word problem, when it says, he's a very present help in trouble. That word trouble is something, again, you cannot escape. It's a situation that you cannot control. And you are just at the mercy of God. And in the midst of that situation, that trouble, look what God is asking us to do. He's a refuge. He's a strength. And a refuge is a place that you feel protected. It's a place that you feel safe. One time we were driving home, and you know how the cell phone starts doing like tornado things? Beep! You know what I'm talking about? And we were getting home. I think we were driving from Orlando back home. And everything was going fine, and we're just arriving to our home, and there was like a tornado thing going on. And our daughter, she was like going ballistics. She was very fearful until we arrived home. I think at age 7, she didn't know that a tornado can take away her home, but she felt safe at home because that's our refuge. God is that place that we feel safe. And that and his strength, that strength is not only that he is a strength, is that his him being a refuge strengthens us. We feel strong. When you're fearful, don't you sometimes even feel weak in your body? But when you feel safe, you're like, come on, bring it on. This is the effect that God has when you feel secure in him. He's a refuge, and he gives you strength. And in the midst of these problems, these troubles, he's asking us to not fear. Look at this. Though earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into earth of sea, though his water roam and foam, though the mountains tremble at his swelling. Doesn't matter that that's happening, and that's what happened in Puerto Rico September 20th. Mountains were coming down. The sea was foaming and roaming. And you know what he's asking us to do in the midst of that? To not fear. That feels impossible. How can I not fear when everything around me is collapsing? The only way we cannot fear is if we know that he's a strength and he's a refuge. And that he is near. He's not only a refuge and a strength. He's something that refuge and strength is near. He's there for us. He's close to us. So think about it. What is your worst case scenario? For me, it would be like something happening to my children. That would be my worst case scenario. And God is saying, do not fear. Do not fear because I'm a help that is near you. I'm a strength. I'm a refuge. 2 days after the storm, we were at the house, and there was a news that came in one of the Puerto Rican newspapers, and it was talking about the neighborhood where my wife grew up, where Kathy grew up. And it was saying that there was like 205 miles per hour wind registered in that area where she grew up. And that people needed to like run in the middle of the storm and leave their house. And I saw the news and I kind of like didn't say anything to my wife. And that night when she was going to bed, she told me, Osvaldo, I saw this. I'm not going to even read it. Her mom, 70-year-old mom, lives there raising a 12-year-old niece of my wife. And the next morning, I wake up. We are, you know, feeling very heavy about all that is happening. And my godly wife, she said this to me. God is not pleased that we make up stories in our mind without having all the information. I just need to wait. I just need to wait. She knew that God was a near help, a present help at that time. And I think many times we do that. We become anxious because we start building things in our mind and seeing like scenarios of how things are going to end without knowing all the information. And many times, even that everything is shattering, God is asking us to trust him for his care and protection right now at this moment. Not to build scenarios for the future. You see, we have a tendency to think about the worst and to make our situation the worst. And Facebook, I love Facebook for many things, but Facebook also can be a tool of the devil. Hey, some people, I got them going. I think Facebook is a great tool. But I think sometimes in the midst of suffering, we use Facebook to gather sympathy. I'm going to, You see, all Puerto Ricans, we were going through the same things. And some people were like putting like, this is, you know, you are suffering, but I'm suffering worse than you are suffering. And that's a way to try to seek refuge, to get sympathy from people when all we need is to know he's our refuge, he's our strength, and he's near. We can trust him. Brothers and sisters, this is our certainty. What gives us strength during the time of crisis is his very present help during those times. That's the only strength that we need. So when you fear, you can trust him because he's near you. We have a lady in our church. She came to our church like 6 years ago. She moved from Puerto Rico to be in our congregation. She became part of our congregation. They have a kid that has a developmental issue. He's like 7 or 8 years old, but he's like 6 months old, like in his cognitive, and he has problems with his heart, his lung. So they moved to the area because some of the best doctors are in the Washington, D.C. area. And 2 years after she moved to the area, she got diagnosed with breast cancer. And after that, they find out that the cancer moved to the liver. On top of that, her dad has her dad kidney doesn't work. She's going through chemotherapy, all these situations. And after a couple of years, it seems like that the worst had happened, and she's recovering. And then her mom gets diagnosed with breast cancer. And like 3 weeks ago, she started feeling dizzy and having some things going on. And we find out that she had a tumor on her brain. This is a good way to use Facebook. She went to Facebook and did a post that it was holy ground. She was saying, I'm fearful, but I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God for the care of my child, trusting God for the care of my mother in Puerto Rico, I'm trusting God for my life. Oh, we can only do that when we know that he's a present help. He's near us. So in the midst of any danger, God's nearness is protection. His presence is the safe place. Point number two, his presence is the safe place. In this part of the psalm, his nearness is very implicit. Oh, I didn't know I could say that word in English. Verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She should not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. You see, the psalm moved from destruction to a river irrigating. What is the difference? The difference is the presence of God. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. You see, the earth-shattering situation has not changed. It's still there. That's still happening. But now there's a picture of peace, of prosperity, because God is in the midst of his people. This is a view that we see throughout the Bible, these rivers that go and give lives. You see this in Eden. You see this in the temple of Ezekiel. You see this in the Revelation 21. You see this in Psalm 23. This river that gives life. This is God. This is his word that gives life to the people that get fed by it. So in the midst of this earth-shattering situation, when we are in the presence of God, we are being taken care of. He's giving us life. He is the life that we need, even if death is surrounding us. This is the idea of Jerusalem, the place where God's people is secure. Brothers and sisters, again, this is the safe place. This is the safe place. And in this part of the history of salvation, this safe place where this river flows is the church. This is where we get this river that gives us life. Sunday by Sunday, Aaron and the pastor preaching God's word faithfully to feed your souls with the word of God, which is a river that feeds you. So in that time of crisis, you can hold to the word of God, to his truth, to his promises, that he's near, that he's with you. He is with us, brothers and sisters. This is the safe place. I love it in 1 Thessalonians. We're preaching to 1 Thessalonians, and there's a sense of community in 1 Thessalonians. They are suffering. They're being persecuted. And Paul says he's encouraged to see them walking in faith. That in the midst of suffering, they're still being faithful to the gospel. And you see, that's what happened in community. We see people suffering, and we get encouraged. When I went to Puerto Rico, I thought I was going to encourage the brothers and sisters there. And I left each time encouraged just to see them trusting God in the midst of the worst situation of their lives. I remember saying, there's hope in that island because they're faithful preachers that are going to keep preaching God's word in the midst of this. They say over 2,000 pastors left the island. By the grace of God, all these faithful pastors preaching, that preach the Bible, they stay there and they preach God's word in the midst of these circumstances. You see, God is near. God is this river that gives us life, that makes the city of God glad. What happens sometimes is that we can be a little anxious to obtain his help. Verse 5 said, God will help her when morning dawns. Many times we tell God when, at what time we need that help. I need it now, God. I need right now to solve this situation. And sometimes God keeps us there so we can grow in trusting him. His help will arrive. But sometimes we're in the midst of night and we have to wait until dawn. The month of October in Puerto Rico, even November when I went to my wife, there was darkness like I have never seen in my life. We took the kids to my mother-in-law house one night, and I turned off the lights, and you couldn't see your hand. That darkness. And when you're living like that, you're waiting for dawn to come. You can wait for that morning to go because you will feel safe. You will feel secure. What this psalm is saying is dawn is coming. Dawn is coming. The rescue is coming. The thing is that we think that his presence is not with us until dawn comes. And what this psalm is telling is, in the darkness, he is with us. He has not left us. He's with us and he's walking with us. At moments he feels like he will not arrive. The thing is, he has never left us. He's with us all the time. And it's interesting, this psalm, there's like a sandwich here. I like to call it like a theological sandwich. That's something used. You have problem on one side, is the bread, which is natural crisis. You have like a ham or maybe prosciutto if you're Italian, whatever you like, in the middle, which is this calmness, this presence of God that gives you peace. And then it comes back to problem. And this is like political problem. Verse 6, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utter his voice, the earth melt. What he's saying is, outside his protection, outside this strength, this near help, there's only chaos. It doesn't matter that it looks like things are safe. Outside God's strength and protection, world is chaos. We need to be inside his protection at all times. We need to be trusting in him at all times. We should not fear. You see, because he speaks to things and things melt. He ordered his voice, the earth melts. So if the situation that we have in front of us has not changed, we can trust him because he can only speak and that is gone. He's still there because of a reason. We may not know, but we can trust him because if he wants a situation to be gone, he just speaks and things melt. It can be something in nature. It can be Rocket Man. He speaks, things melt. So we can trust him. And then he gives us this call in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Do you see again this community call? This is not things that we're walking by ourselves. This is things that we're walking as a community. And I encourage you, if you are in the midst of earth-shattering crisis in your life, open your life to the community. Don't walk it alone. I know, as I say we, but I know that the church wants to walk with you so you can feel God's nearness and his strength. So in the midst of any danger, God's nearness is our protection. Point number 3, we are amazed when God speaks. There's an amazement, like a sense of awe when God speaks. So in the midst of all that's going on, when God speaks, we are not amazed by the storms. We are not amazed by the political trouble. We are amazed by the word of God when he speaks. That should give us a sense of awe. And here is where we have some imperatives that call us to respond in a strong way. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. He speaks. You see the amazement? God speaks and things stops. So we shouldn't be anxious what's going on in whatever part of the world. Doesn't matter now if Kim Jong-un and the other guy, I don't know how to pronounce his name, are now making peace. Not any different when the guy was trying to threat us with nuclear bombs. There's no difference for the church. Because we trust in God. He speaks and things stops. Nothing comes out of his control. Our mission doesn't change if he wants to nuke us or not. It doesn't change. We trust in him. We are amazed at his power that he speaks and the chariots are stopped. Amen. We see that in the Exodus. The whole army was going, he speaks, things stops. So we never have to fear. This is an invitation, and this is a great invitation, church, to look at God's work of the past and be amazed by it so we are strengthened in our faith. This is why he's saying, behold what God has done. Look what God has done through history. You are fearful now. Look back. He has been faithful. He has been a refuge to the church for generation to generation to generation. The reality that we are meeting here in Orlando in the 21st century, that means that God has been faithful, because there was centuries where the church was persecuted, when the gospel seemed to be almost gone, and God took care of it, and we're still here proclaiming his truth. So we are strengthened by the faithfulness of God through ages. He's saying, look at my work. I have destroyed all my enemies. And from Israel, they look at the Exodus, which is the gospel of the Old Testament. Oh, we have a better view of how God destroyed his enemies. We look at the cross of Calvary, where he defeated death and he defeated sin, and we have our true victory. Oh, we know dawn will come on that day when he comes from heaven to rescue his church. He's coming. We just have to wait and trust for his rescue. So read your Bibles and look at what God has done so your faith is encouraged. I was talking with some friends about Hebrews 11. Maybe that friend was my wife. Yeah, that friend was my wife. She's my best friend. So we were talking about Hebrews 11, and I'm saying the point of Hebrews 11 is not to say, look at those men, how strong they were. Samson is there. What he's telling us is God saved through weak people, and that should give us hope to us that we are weak too. Because we have trusted in him and his salvation through his son. Oh, he triumphed over his enemies. There's no I'm not going to get political. But there's nothing in politics that we should fear, brothers and sisters. Our hope as a church is not in the political climate. Our hope as a church is that he promised that the gates of hell will not, you know, be over the church. That saint's voice that melts everything, talk, but talk to us now directly. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It's interesting, this call that he will be exalted among the nations. He showed that there was some, like, crisis on nations in the psalm. And then he said, I will be exalted in the earth. He showed some, like, earth-shattering situation going on earth. And he said, don't look at that and be fearful. At the end, I will be exalted over those things. Do you see how the psalm comes here? He gave us, like, political crisis, gave us natural disasters, and he's saying, what's going on? I will be exalted at the end. Doesn't matter. It's all about his glory. And this is the instruction that he's giving us. This is a challenge. Be still. This is not like a meditation time. You know that we have those little plaques that say, be still. You know, and we go with our coffee there, and we're going to be still. I'm sorry if I'm going to, like, mess up that little plaque in your house. You may want to throw it out after this. This is a different be still. What God is telling us is, be still! Be still! And know that I'm God. Don't be proud. Don't try to control your word. Don't try to make things happen. Submit to my govern over your life. Be still. Don't be proud. Look at all what I have done and trust in me, because your fear is saying that you don't trust me. Be still. Trust in me. It's a recognition of who he is. God give an order to proud humans that try to govern their lives, that live apart from God, to submit to him. So after I preached this sermon, Kathy put the little plaque in our living room that say, be still. And I asked her, do you know what that say? And she said, I know. We need to submit to him. We need to look at him and trust in him. There may be people here, and I think this is from the Lord. Maybe you have a wayward son or daughter. That's a way to call it. You know, you thought that you did everything, you gave your all, and for some reason he's not following the Lord. He's taking foolish decisions. First of all, if that's you, my heart is with you. Nothing more in life I want than my kids to serve the Lord. And maybe you're going backward and you're saying, maybe it was we did this, we did that. And God is telling you, be still. I'm God. Maybe your efforts to try to reel them back are pushing them away more. And he's saying, be still. Oh, that's an earth-shattering moment when your kids are not doing well. And let me tell you, not doing well for me is like, you know, like, because sometimes that phrase, not doing well, it's a kid that is just going through, like, encouraging, you know, finding his faith and things like that. I'm talking like, you know, he's lost in the world. That's our sharing. And God is telling you, be still. Recognize that nothing come out of my control. You see, when you are anxious, you don't need alternate things. You don't need fake news. So you are like now all like in peace. What you need is to know that God is our present help in time of need. This big still call of the Old Testament should be put in the New Testament to repent. Repent and stop trying to manipulate God and control your life. Submit to Him. Remember who is God. Because that's what He's saying. Be still and know that I'm God. And who God is this? The one that speaks and things melt. The one that the earth and the nations will make Him be exalted. And He finished with a reminder of His covenant promises to us that should bring us peace. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So what is our biggest problem? And I don't want to be simplistic. And if you're suffering right now, we pray that God will remove this suffering from your life. But the reality that the biggest problem that human beings have is facing the wrath of God at the end of time. And the only solution for that is having the nearness of God in our lives. The problem is that God cannot be near us because of our sin. But you see, the gospel is clearly in this psalm, in verse 11, where it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. That word Lord is Emmanuel in the original. Emmanuel in the original. The God, Lord of hosts is with us. That means Emmanuel. God with us. That's His promise of the Messiah. That's the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He came from heaven and lived a perfect life and died for us and took our place and took our wrath so that He could be near us. Oh, brothers and sisters, He is here today. He's with us. So when you are suffering, and when you are experiencing earth-shattering problems, you need the presence of the Lord near us. And He is with us. That is His promise. I'm going to end with this illustration. I preached this sermon a couple of weeks before the 500 years of the Reformation. And Luther, his most favorite him was a mighty fortress is our Lord, is our God. That's the name. And that song came from this psalm, from Psalm 46. And there was moments that Luther's life, he was having earth-shattering problems. You know, he wasn't having an issue that his latte wasn't the way he wanted. There were kingdoms wanting his head. And where things were getting very bad, he will tell his good friend Philip, and say, Philip, let's sing number 46 and let them bring their worst. And I don't think Luther was being like, you know, like proud. No, bring it on. What Luther was saying is, I trust in God. He's my mighty fortress. They can take my life, but the gospel will not be stopped. And my life will remain for eternity because I put my trust in Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, let's sing with Luther. Let them bring their words and sing number 46 for the glory of God as we trust a God that is near His people in times of needs. Lord, thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your nearness. We pray that Your church will be encouraged by the preaching of Your word. And we pray that as we proud human beings try to run our lives, You will remind us to be still and to see who You are. You are a mighty fortress. You are a place that we can be safe in the midst of difficulties. And that's our trust. In Your name we pray. Amen.